all beauty, all strength, all knowledge, all fame, even all renunciation. All these things he possesses in full. Therefore, he's all attractive. All beauty, he possesses all beauty. We also have a little beauty, isn't it? Little. Maybe there's one person in this world who thinks that, oh, you look very nice. So we all have a little of all these things. But Krishna has all of all these things, including all beauty. And we do mention sometimes that when Krishna was present on this planet 5,000 years ago, he would move about in public. He would mix with the people in the streets. And sometimes, or many times, people would see him, and because he was so beautiful, they would faint. Even people riding on horses or elephants would sometimes just faint and just fall off, crash on the ground, because Krishna's so beautiful. He has all beauty. We have just a little. Did anyone faint when they saw you? I don't think so. And no one fainted when they saw me either, because it's just not the same at all. It's just not the same. So, Krishna has all of everything, including all pleasure. And after all, what is the main thing, really, if you have all of whatever you could have, would be to have all pleasure. If you could have all the money and all the strength, but no pleasure, oh, it certainly wouldn't be worth it. So pleasure is the main thing. And Krishna has all pleasure. And in order to increase his experience of pleasure, he manifests his pleasure capacity, pleasure potency, external to himself as a person. That is Srimati Radharani. The Supreme Lord's complete capacity to enjoy and feel pleasure and happiness and satisfaction placed external to himself as a person. And through doing that, instead of just interacting internally and just enjoying just everything going on simply internally, when his pleasure potency, Srimati Radharani, is external to himself, it increases the depth and the experience of all the exchanges. And it all increases, as they say, geometrically. They say that, don't they? I'm not sure what that means. Pi r squared or something. But it just increases more and more and just multiplies. It just multiplies. And even to the point that Krishna himself becomes astonished. He just becomes astonished. How is it that when I interact with Srimati Radharani, that I just feel so much more than I've ever felt before? I can't even understand it at all. So this is the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In order to increase his enjoyment and happiness, he places his capacity to enjoy these things outside himself as another person, this is Srimati Radharani. And today is her appearance day. What a special day. She is, you could say, like the mother of all of us, at least in terms of our devotional service. Not in material terms. You know, we all have our material mothers. And then, of course, there's Mother Durga Devi, Mother Material Nature, Mother Nature. She's there. Actually, so many, as Krishna expands into different forms, avatars, incarnations, expansions of different types on different levels. As Krishna does that in innumerable forms, similarly, Srimati Radharani expands herself also in innumerable forms. And as Krishna in all these different multitudinous forms, he has different moods, he looks different, he has different attitudes, different activities. So Srimati Radharani, she expands herself in the same ways, with different attitudes and different moods, to just fit in just suitably with her beloved Krishna in that particular form, whichever form it may be. So we see, like, when Krishna expands as Lord Ram, and he's very sort of upright, honorable, respectable, maintaining standards rigidly, Srimati Radharani expands as Sita Devi, and she has a similar mood. So like this, Srimati Radharani expands. She is very great. She is very great. These things are discussed, actually. If you want to read more and take your time and sit down with it and then come back to it later, and in this way gradually sort of penetrate into these, sometimes not so easy subject matters, then what you must do, you must read Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, chapter 4. This is the main source in our literature of information about Srimati Radharani in so many ways, from so many different perspectives. So she's very great. She expands, as we mentioned. She expands in different ways. She expands, for example, we read this morning in that same chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, she expands as all the queens in Dwarka. Well, first she expands as all the Lakshmis, all the goddesses of fortune in Vaikuntha. And there's so many, unlimited number of them. Then she expands as all the queens in Dwarka, not less than 16,108. And then she expands as all the gopis, so many thousands and millions of gopis. They're all expansions of Srimati Radharani, endowed with certain of her qualities, capabilities, like physical features or different aspects of her appearance, all for the pleasure of Lord Krishna in different ways. So it really is quite something. And I thought we would read today to start off with a verse from that chapter. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, chapter 4. And let us read here verse 82. And please listen to this carefully. Govinda Nandini Radha, Govinda Mohini, Govinda Sarvasva Sarvakanta Shiromani. Translation, Radha is the one who gives pleasure to Govinda. And she is also the enchantress of Govinda. She is the be-all and end-all of Govinda and the crest jewel of all his consorts. And as we just mentioned, not only is she the crest jewel of all his consorts of all different types, but actually, they are all expansions of her. So what can you say? It is at least mind-boggling. What is Srimati Radharani and the efforts she makes to please Krishna? So that was verse 82 in that chapter 4 of Adi Leela Chaitanya Charitamrita. Let me just read the translation again. Radha is the one who gives pleasure to Govinda. And she is also the enchantress of Govinda. She is the be-all and end-all of Govinda. And she is the crest jewel of all his consorts. In principle or philosophically, it has been put in a very interesting way. Why not say Krishna Anandini Radha, Krishna Mohini, Krishna Sarvasva? Why not say Krishna? I mean, Krishna, that's the original name of the Lord, after all. Or why not any other name? Why not Madhava? Madhava Nandini Radha, Madhava Mohini. It's nice. Why Govinda? Well, there's a very interesting transcendental logic behind that. Please listen, devotees. You know what Govinda means. Go means the senses. I mean, there are different meanings, but in this context, go means the senses. To see, to smell, to touch, hear, etc. And Inda, in this context, means he who gives pleasure, enjoyment, happiness, these nice things, to the senses. Yeah, and particularly for the devotees, the pleasure which the devotees are getting as they render devotional service, even though they may not really be doing much sense gratification, not so much of the eat, drink, and merry stuff, the disco, and so on and so forth. The devotees don't really do so much of that stuff, if at all, in many cases. But the devotees are very happy. And actually, in many cases, at least these serious devotees are extremely happy. They are just overwhelmingly happy. You know, on very advanced levels of Krishna consciousness, beyond our levels, to be completely frank, the devotees become so happy that they just uncontrollably cry tears of ecstasy, and sometimes they faint in ecstasy, and things like this. The happiness, the bliss, the ecstasy is just so overpowering, they may even faint. But they're not doing all those things which materialistic people do in order to get their limited happiness. Very limited and very temporary happiness. So where are the devotees getting the pleasure from? They're getting it from Krishna. He reciprocates with the efforts the devotees make. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yeyatamam prapajyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. As they endeavor, as they approach me, I reciprocate accordingly. So Krishna, as Govinda, the one who gives pleasure and happiness, he provides happiness and satisfaction for the devotees who are sincerely engaged in devotional service, and even up to an astonishing level of happiness. This is Govinda. And even having said that, all the pleasure, whatever pleasure the materialistic people are getting, they're also getting that from Krishna, because he is the source of everything. So he gives them also whatever little pleasure they get from drinking mainstay and other, you know, very respectable activities. You know, back before I was a devotee, long time ago, I had a sort of friend, quote unquote, someone I knew at least, and he used to say that when I wake up in the morning after, and if I cannot remember what happened last night, because he was so intoxicated, he just lost it so much, he just cannot remember. Then he said, I know I must have had a good time. So what standard is that of happiness or even sanity? So whatever little pleasure they're getting is also coming from Krishna, because he's Govinda. He gives pleasure to the senses. So this is Govinda. He is giving pleasure. Whatever happiness anyone is getting of any sort, it is coming from him, and particularly for the devotees. But Radharani is so great. She gives pleasure to Govinda. Just consider that. He is giving pleasure to everyone, but his pleasure comes from Srimati Radharani. How great is Srimati Radharani? Actually, it is truly inconceivable. And in this, I mentioned, fourth chapter of Adi Lila Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna expresses his feelings. At least different parts of the chapter are composed of Krishna expressing his feelings about Srimati Radharani. Incidentally, let me just say that all you nice devotees in the doorway and the foyer and so on, there's plenty of space. We have reserved spaces for you up here. They have your names on them, on different marble tiles. You'll find your name. Plus, also, it's better not to block the doorway. So let's even maybe we could just move forward slightly, devotees and Matajis. Devotee, Mataji, devotees. You know what I want to do right now? I would like to read just the translations of a few verses from this part of Chaitanya Charitamrita that we're referring to. Please listen to this. This is Lord Krishna speaking. This is Lord Krishna expressing his heart, his feelings, and Shishi Radha Radhanath Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sri Giri Govardhan Ki. And, his astonishment, not just appreciation, but his amazement, his astonishment. Who is this Radharani? She is just overpowering me completely. Listen to this, devotees. These are translations of some of the verses from that chapter, beginning actually with verse 243. Krishna says, although my beauty defeats the beauty of 10 million cupids. Normally for us, just one cupid is enough to fire an arrow, and then our minds get captivated either by a member of the opposite sex or just some material attraction, maybe a motor car. Oh, look at that. It's Cupid. Or some money. Oh, I can get some money. Ah, it's Cupid. Yeah, he's in charge of all material attractions. So again, Krishna says, although my beauty defeats the beauty of 10 million cupids, although it is unequaled and unsurpassed, and although it gives pleasure to the three worlds, that's including us, we're in the three worlds, seeing Radharani gives pleasure to my eye. The vibration of my transcendental flute attracts the three worlds, but my ears are enchanted by the words of Srimati Radharani. Although my body lends fragrance to the entire creation, the scent of Radharani's limbs captivates my mind and heart. Although the entire creation is full of different tastes, because of me, I am charmed by the nectarian taste of the lips of Srimati Radharani. And although my touch is cooler than 10 million moons, I am refreshed by the touch of Srimati Radharani. Thus, although I am the source of happiness for the entire world, the beauty and attributes of Sri Radhika are my life and soul. So, to grasp all of this completely, 100%, or we would say 108%, we work with 108%. To grasp it all, you cannot. But at least we should try to cultivate some appreciation, very humbly, some understanding, a little knowledge about these things, and a little appreciation of how amazing is Radharani. And then we'll feel so inspired to serve her, or most particularly to serve Krishna under her shelter and care. So, Radharani's most amazing person, a very deep, extremely deep personality. And here in this chapter, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami brings out certain extraordinary points about Srimati Radharani in very nice ways. That, for example, we have experience. You know, I haven't had experience for many years, but I had a little experience before. Sometimes young ladies, if they are going to meet, or even would just like to meet, some nice young man and make a favorable impression upon him, you know what I mean, then they like to get themselves together so they look nice and as nice as possible. So they decorate themselves in different ways, isn't it? Different colors, lipstick to match their what? Socks or anyway their clothes. And you know, their hair, well, maybe to match the color of their hair. Yeah. And because here, you know, here's quite something. The rest of your body, you can't do so much with, right? I read a car bumper sticker once. Please don't take too much exception to this. But it was just, you know, it wasn't me. It was whoever wrote the bumper sticker said, "I'm fat and you're ugly, but I can lose weight." So, otherwise, the basic structure of your body, if you're tall, you can't cut yourself off a bit. And if you're short, you're short. You know what I mean. There's certain just fundamental realities of the physical body, which, you know, they're just like existential realities, like it or not. But your hair, it is the one part of your body you can really do things with. Put it up, down, sideways, make it curly, change its color. So anyway, these things happen on the material level. And it's just part of the, don't mind me saying it, it's sort of part of the boy-girl game. By game, anyway, game, it's just part of that whole thing, which is a big thing. At least for the materialistic people, it's a very big thing. So now, what point is made here in this chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita is that the gopis, and Radharani is the head of the gopis, devotees, they do the same thing. They do the same thing. Yes, in between having met Krishna and meeting Krishna the next time, when it next time comes up, in between they prepare themselves for the next time by trying to make themselves look nice. And you might think, people might think, and some people do think, that it's just, you know, they're girls. And girls do this. So, you know, so what's the difference? But there's a huge difference. Why are the gopis doing that? Not because they're trying to sort of capture Krishna and get him under their control And when they've got them completely under their control, and he cannot move an inch, like, you know, when they're married, then he sees her in the morning, and when they wake up, doesn't look so nice. So, you know, is it that she looks nice, or is it that all the decorative stuff looks nice? We'll leave that one with you. But here, the gopis know that Krishna feels happiness when he sees their beauty. They know that. And their life, their lives mean to give Krishna happiness. So when they identify that this thing or that thing or something which they do or say gives Krishna happiness, they note it. This gives Krishna happiness. And then they go very deeply into it because they know this is going to give Krishna happiness. And this is what their lives mean. So we also, and don't mind me saying this too much. Do you mind me saying it too much? I hope not, because I'm going to say another thing, is that young ladies are also famous for, you know, trying to get themselves together, but taking quite some time to do so, and as a result, being late for the engagement, right? Many husbands have told me that. They end up just waiting, you know, we've got to get to the whatever it is, and I'm still waiting for you. And she's saying, well, I've still got to do this and that. Do you mind me saying that? If you mind, I won't say anything about it again. So like we said, the gopis do the same thing. And Radharani is the head of the gopis. So you must know, she really does it. But it is not just with that selfish idea that, yes, I'm going to attract somebody or impress people, whatever. It's actually for the pleasure of Krishna. And when they know the next time comes, Krishna wants to see them now, then however decorated or partially decorated they are, they drop everything and go. And they don't say, hang on, Krishna, you know, I've still got to put on my whatever, something else. So just, you know, relax, Krishna, I'll be with you shortly. In the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, there's vivid description of the rasa dance, 6 chapters, and at the beginning, or just before the beginning, Krishna played his flute on the full moon night, the first full moon night of the Sharad season, or the month of Kartik. On the first night, full moon, Krishna played his flute. He was standing under the banyan tree there in Vrindavan, playing his flute. And the gopis were doing all their things in the middle of it all, because, like we said, they know it pleases Krishna when he sees them nicely presented. But now Krishna played his flute. They were in the middle of it. And just to prove, it's a type of proof, evidence for the point that their feeling for Krishna, it's not lust or anything like that. It's simply love, simply to please Krishna. As soon as they knew, at the second they knew, Krishna wants us, even though they were not fully decorated, they literally dropped everything and ran. Whatever state of dress or, you know, decoration they were at, they just stopped and ran. And the Bhagavatam describes. And think about it. It's amazing. It's very extreme. Some of them, because they're like partially dressed going through all these things, some of them, they just grabbed some clothes and ran and just stuck the clothes on and ran. And Bhagavatam says some of them put the top part of their clothing on the lower part of the body and vice versa. Can you imagine what that would look like? If you think about it, this is very extreme. It's really extreme. But the point was, they were not concerned. Do I look cool enough for Krishna? Is he going to be moved by me? That was not a consideration. The consideration was, Krishna wants us now, so we are going now, even if we look stupid. You know, really stupid. Yeah. Dressed in these weird, weird ways. One eye has cudgel, the other does not. And things like this. I mean, isn't it extreme? It's really extreme. But the point was, Krishna called them. And they understood, Krishna wants us now. And because that is the focal thing in their lives. Therefore, they just dropped everything and just went because Krishna wants us now. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he discusses things like this. In that chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, and many of these points, they help us to appreciate, well, many things actually about Srimati Radharani and the gopis. They help us appreciate many things, but one of the important things, really important things, they help us to appreciate is that the love Srimati Radharani has for Krishna and the gopis, but Radharani is just in a dimension of her own altogether in terms of love for Krishna. Plus, as we mentioned, the other gopis are just expansions of her anyway, generally. So the standard, the purity of her love, how it is love devoid of any, even a trace of a hint, of a shadow, of some other consideration, personal consideration. This is brought out very, very nicely. For example, another related example, it's sort of an extension of the same point, is that the gopis, Radharani and the gopis, they have no desire for their own pleasure. No desire. In fact, Radharani said one time, well, Radharani was feeling great separation from Krishna and, you know, it was quite dramatic. But she heard that Krishna was happy because of that. And one devotee said, well, shouldn't we do something to sort of cheer you up or something of that sort? And Radharani said, no. If my suffering makes Krishna happy, then my suffering becomes my greatest happiness. I'll leave that one with you also. It's transcendental. It's very transcendental. But the point here is, in this little extension of the point we were discussing, is that the gopis, Srimati Radharani and the gopis, they have not even really a conception of their own pleasure. Not even, it's not like they could have their own pleasure and they know it, but they decided, let's forego our pleasure. You know, we'll renounce our pleasure. Not like that. They actually have no conception of pleasure for themselves in any way, shape, or form. They only have the conception of pleasure for Krishna. That's all. So in that state of mind, in that state of consciousness, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami here in Chaitanya Charitamrita describes how they go to see Krishna. You know, it's not that every time they go, like we mentioned, they were in the middle of it and then they just had to drop everything and run. But sometimes they do get themselves together nicely. Then they meet Krishna. So when they're like that, and Krishna sees them, and Krishna, who is also free from any like desires for personal material sense gratification, who's also completely pure-hearted, when Krishna sees them, he doesn't just see that, oh, look, here's some beautiful girls. Wow, they look good. That sort of idea. He doesn't see them in those terms at all. He sees their beauty, but he sees it for what it is, which is an expression of their desire to please him, of their love. So when Krishna sees them like that, it gives him, he's already extremely happy. And when he's happy, he becomes very sweet looking and he just exudes and radiates sweetness and joy. So when he sees them in those terms, then his joy increases. His joy increases because he knows this is just an expression of their love. He feels so happy. And when he feels very happy, he looks even sweeter. He just radiates more happiness and joy. And the gopis, they see that. Oh, look, Krishna is looking even sweeter and more happy with us. They become more happy, feeling that, you know, we pleased Krishna. That is wonderful. So they become more happy. And what happens when they become more happy? They become more beautiful. And Krishna sees their increase of beauty, which is just an expression of their increase of affection and desire to please him. And Krishna becomes more beautiful and more joyful and just radiates and exudes more happiness and sweetness. And they see that and they understand, Krishna is even more happy, and they become more happy. Do you get the idea? And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, there is a competition. I mean, not like a literal contest, but it's as if a competition between the gopis and Krishna. And it never reaches a point where the gopis say, or even Krishna says, okay, that's enough. Thanks. I'm happy enough. You know, that's enough. Let's do something else. Let's take prasadam. It just goes on indefinitely, and it's going on today. In Goloka Vrindavan today, exactly the same thing is happening. This competition between the gopis' love for Krishna and their expressing it, him appreciating that, becoming more inspired and beautiful as a result, them becoming more inspired, and so on and so on and so on. It just goes on. It's really amazing. It's very wonderful. And, you know, having said that, Srimati Radharani is a complex personality. You know, everyone's a complex personality. Even if a person appears to be a simple person, it's just that their complexity is hidden for the time being, actually. But Radharani is extremely complex and sophisticated. And Krishna, again in the same chapter, he is talking about Radharani's love. Her love is just the best. It's completely in a class of its own. It is completely pure. But, listen to this, devotees, it is also very crooked. I'll leave that one with you too. Yes, she's not just one of these sort of simple girls, just, oh, I love you. She is very, you know, well, very crooked. And an interesting example, it's a very interesting and important example which Srila Prabhupada, Srila Rupa Goswami give in Nectar of Devotion. They make the point that there are spiritual equivalents of all material emotions. Isn't that quite something? You know, people may think that material life means lust, anger, greed, envy, and so on and so on and so on. But spiritual life means just peace. Om Shanti Om. Just everything's completely peaceful and just relaxed. But devotees, it's not quite like that. There are spiritual equivalents, even of these rather, you know, unpleasant material emotions. And let me just repeat to the devotees gathered in the doorway, please at least feel free to come in. We have space for you in the front. And please don't block the doorway. So there's an example given in Nectar of Devotion. It is extremely transcendental. You may have to think about this a bit. Don't be too shocked. An example is given of transcendental envy. Can you imagine what an emotion is envy? Isn't it just, like rock bottom, really? Envy, it's bad. But there is transcendental envy. And the example is which is given is, listen to this, Srimati Radharani is looking at the face of one other gopi who just had her face decorated with gopi dots and other, you know, painting type things by Krishna himself in person. Yes. And Radharani's looking at this gopi's face, and every dot, like if you get close enough to see the faces of Radha and Radhanath today, you'll see the paintings of little flowers and things. It's very precise. So Radharani saw that Krishna had done this elaborate, beautiful decoration. And every detail, the finest detail, everything was precise. He did a perfect job. And Radharani walked up to her and looked at her and studied her, these decorations, and said, "You're not very beautiful." She said, "You're not beautiful because Krishna, he personally did this on your face. He was inches away from your face. And because you're not beautiful, he was not disturbed by your beauty." And because you're not beautiful, he was able to do everything with complete precision. If you were beautiful, there would be smudges and things going off in the wrong direction and all that. But because you're not beautiful, Krishna did it really perfectly. This is the example given of transcendental envy. And we may have heard similar things before, on the material level. But the point is, you know what the point is? As we have mentioned, is that Krishna understands that the beauty of the gopis and how they present themselves and their appearance in all respects is an expression of their love. And if he is affected, you know the story of Krishna milking the bull, right? I think you must know that story. Krishna gets affected by the beauty of the gopis and he drops things or he says things the wrong way. And he sort of does silly things because he gets bewildered by the beauty of the gopis, which is just a manifestation of their love. He gets overwhelmed by their love. And so he does some things, kind of funny things, and they laugh at him. So one day Krishna decided, today I'm going to be cool as a cucumber. Oh yeah, totally cool, calm and collected. Let Radharani come. I don't care. I will just, whatever I'm doing, I'll just do it. No problem. So he went out, he was milking the cows, thinking, all right, let her come, I'll show her. And sure enough, she came. And Krishna was cool. We are milking the cows. Look at us. We are just cool. And the gopis, Radharani and the gopis, were very surprised. Oh, look, Krishna is, you know, he's together. He's not becoming affected by our presence. And Krishna was thinking, I'm doing good today. Look at this. And then suddenly the gopis just roared with laughter. They just laughed and laughed and just pointed at Krishna. Look at him. Ah. Oh. And Krishna thought, what now? What have I done? I'm cool. I'm milking the cows. And then Krishna noticed, this is mentioned in Nectar of Devotion, he noticed he was milking a bull. And then he realized, oh no, not again. So anyway, in this example from Nectar of Devotion, of transcendental envy, Radharani is not just in that mood of envy that people sometimes get into if some competitor does better than them or looks better than them or somehow talks better than them, all this sort of thing. Radharani was thinking that Krishna, because you're not beautiful, Krishna was not pleased. Because when Krishna is pleased, he just gets overwhelmed, overpowered, and then he can't walk straight, he can't talk straight, and he can't paint gopi dots straight also. So you see, you understand the idea. This is transcendental envy. It's not actually envy, but it's just concern that we sent you to please Krishna. You didn't please Krishna. You're useless. Okay. We will continue this evening. See you then. Srimati Radharani ke, Shri Radhastami Mahotsava ke, Shishi Radha Radhanath ke, Gopremanande! Oh, Hare Krishna. Thank you.